This is not, that's not what we're doing. This, hey everybody, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I've got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And we're talking about some shit that kind of, what is it? What is that fucking thing? Grinds my gears. There we go. So what's gonna grind my gears? What's gonna grind my gears? Right here, Variety. Jessica Rabbit, too hot for Disney. Robert Zemeckis says the studio can't make a movie with her anymore. They put her in a trench coat at Disneyland. This is Robert Zemeckis, the guy behind Back to the Future. You didn't know that, did you? Back to the Future and Who Framed Roger Rabbit, among several of his other movies. So, alright guys. Robert Zemeckis was the latest guest on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast as he made the press rounds for his latest directorial effort here, which reunites him with Forrest Gump stars Tom Hanks and Robin Wright. While going through his many box office hits, Zemeckis confirmed that a sequel script for Who Framed Roger Rabbit exists. However, one reason it's unlikely to get made is because Jessica Rabbit is too hot for the current Disney regime. You get that, folks? She's too hot.
I don't know. I always got interesting feelings when I was a child.
Here's what you have to know. The current Disney would never make Roger Rabbit today, Zemeckis claimed. They can't make a movie with Jessica in it. Says it straight up, guys. The kind of beauty that we love, we see in the AVNs all the time, stuff like that. Even in the hentai games, stuff like that. They can't do it.
What if they made her black?
I don't know. I don't know. The sequel script isn't ever going to see the light of day. The sequel script isn't ever going to see the light of day as good as it is. I mean, look what they did to Jessica at the theme park. They trussed her up in a trench coat. And he's not happy about that. Directed by Zemeckis from a screenplay by Jeffrey Price and Peter Seaman, who returned to pen the sequel that never got made. Who Framed Roger Rabbit was the second highest grossing film of 1988 with $351 million at the worldwide box office.
Oh, yeah.
The film famously combines live action and animation elements, and if you haven't seen it, please fucking go watch it. And is set in an alternate version of 1947 Hollywood where cartoon characters exist alongside humans. Yeah. Bob Hoskins, who's no longer with us, plays the private investigator Eddie Valiant, who must overcome his grudge against Toons when he's hired to exonerate Roger Rabbit from murder charges. The seductive and voluptuous Jessica Rabbit is Roger's wife.
It was cutting edge for its time.
Yes, it really was. It was amazing to watch. We were able to make it right at the time when Disney was ready to rebuild itself, Zemeckis said about why the film turned out to be such a classic. We were there when a new regime came in and they were full of energy. I kept saying, and I sincerely say this, I am making Roger Rabbit the way I believe Walt Disney would have made it. I say that because Walt never made any of his movies for children. He always made them for adults.
Yeah.
That's what I decided to do with Roger Rabbit. You hear it first, guys. Robert Zemeckis saying Walt Disney never made that shit for kids. That's why it clearly had adult stuff in it that they were pointing out. One time we did
Patty cake! Patty cake! No!
One time we did a test preview with just moms and kids. I was terrified, the director added. These kids were 5 and 6 years old. They were riveted by the movie. I realized that kids get everything. They understand. They get it. The thing that Walt Disney never did was never talk down to the children in his movies. He always treated them like adults.
Yep.
As Zemeckis noted, the Disneyland attraction Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin went through changes in 2021 when Jessica and her outfit from the director's film was removed from the ride and later replaced by a detective version of the character wearing a trench coat.
Those bastards.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit was nominated for 6 Academy Awards and took home the prizes for film editing, sound, and visual effects. Richard Williams was also awarded a Special Achievement Oscar for his animation. Here is now playing in theaters nationwide. Watch his full interview in the video below. But we don't have time for that. But, yeah, he's pretty upset. I want to hear how he talks about her being in a trench coat. Like, is he mad? Is he angry? Is there genuine anger coming from this man about this character? That's what I want to know. He's like, they put her in a trench coat.
A trench coat, you hear me? Those tits gotta be seen.
I mean, it's 32 minutes. There's no way. But like I said, if you guys want to watch it, you can let me know if this man is just completely, you know, frustrated. Because a lot of older people that were in this industry are frustrated at what's going on right now.
Well, they can't make a decent movie because the people funding it want this, this, and this to be added into it. And let's put some diversity in there. And no, we can't be showing tits on TV. Only when we feel like there should be tits. But, I mean, tits are wonderful.
What in the hell?
They are.
Snoop Dogg says upcoming Tom Petty duet is a weed song.
I hate to tell you, Tom Petty's not answering his phone calls.
They gotta do something with him. Donald Trump slams Julia Roberts for narrating ad urging wives to vote for Kamala Harris. She's gonna look back at that and she's gonna cringe.
Who is it?
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. Oh, what a cunt.
Man. Fucking stupid.
It's crazy how Hollywood they'll vote for them. They're just like us. Oh, they don't have millions of dollars and they don't have to worry.
Right.
They have to worry about everything crashing. Oh, well, never mind.
Right. Wow, Sopranos star Drea DiMatteo on joining OnlyFans coming out as a MAGA supporter and why she believes half of Hollywood is voting for Trump. I'll bet they are.
I believe there's a lot of people.
Now, Arnold's not voting for Trump.
No.
But I know that Stallone is.
You gotta love Stallone the person.
Stallone is voting for Trump, I'm sure. And I'm sure that Chuck Norris is voting for Trump.
If they did Kamala's way, none of Arnold's action movies would be worth a shit because the guns would be.
So one thing we were going to talk about was J.D. Vance. Yes. So I'm going to be doing a video at some point. I don't know when, but I'm supposed to do something with Empress either today or tomorrow where we're going to talk about J.D. Vance. We had some bad opinions first when we first, you know, saw his stuff. But after listening to him for 3 hours, I'm convinced, if it's not a smokescreen, which I have to be really careful about, J.D. Vance is a pretty good guy.
I mean,
and he
there's
wants
no doubt he's extremely smart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not well, it's not that. He's reasonable. Like, he's a guy that
he
understands. Like, he's saying, look, we're not trying to, like, we know there's a lot of people with different beliefs, and we're not trying to shove religion down people's throats, and we're not trying to throw people in jail for smoking weed. He literally said, we don't want to do that. They think that's fucking, he says that's stupid. He basically said, he is worried about Sharia law. He is really worried about Sharia law pretty bad. Well, he said, look, he says, we're not upset. It's not about the Muslims in this country. It's about the Islamists that are here and basically saying that they want to outbreed us and basically replace the current laws with Sharia law because there'll be a large section of Muslims.
Well, just I don't think Sharia law is completely taken over yet, but in England, I mean, them.
It's either Missouri or Mississippi, but one of them has actually done some Sharia law stuff, so definitely look into that. And also, J.D. Vance said he read a book, which Rogan himself read, called The Death of Europe. And he said, definitely go ahead and read that book, because this guy was the very first whistleblower that was saying, hey, they're going to replace us. Yep. You know, they're basically going to outbreed us. That's what they're going to do. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, white people. Dude, white people, black people, Mexican people. This is, dude, Spanish, whatever you want to say, Asian. They're trying to outbreed you. Now, I know there's probably some Muslims here that are like, well, I'm not that way, Grim. Well, we're not talking about you. We're talking about the ones that are. And maybe you do know some that are kind of more a little, you know, more militant. And I mean, that's fine. You know, I mean, we can't do anything about it. We're just saying, hey, it's, you know, it's not good for everybody else. And one thing that, like, I'm a social liberal. That's what Rogan called it. Social liberal means, you know, do basically, what is it? Live and let live. I'm a social liberal, but I'm libertarian in everything else. So I'm like, live and let live. That means you do what you do, but don't fucking put it on all these other people. And another thing I really, really, really like that Vance said, and I want to make this real clear, is this trans stuff is more of a trend than anything else. It's a trend. And he said, you know, we always had weird trends. He said, when I was growing up, like me personally, I was like a goth and all that. And yeah, I still kind of like that stuff, but I don't dress necessarily that way.
You gotta think,
like,
too,
I never had.
People that have altered their body are going to regret it.
Oh, right, right, right. And that's what he said. And it's like, but me, I could, you know, I knew that was a trend and I would get over it. Maybe I still listen to a lot of the same music. I heard the new Cure record in the last 20 years come out a couple days ago, but it was good. And, I mean, there was a couple more. Tribulation, they put out another goth record. There's still goth records coming out, but, you know, and I'm wearing a Korn shirt, you know, we're actually selling them now. Yeah. So, yeah, like, I still like a lot of this stuff, but, I mean, I've got blue jeans on, man, and a lot of people say, why is that a big deal? Because when I was young, I never wanted to wear blue jeans. I was like, I'm not a blue jean guy, but when I got older, I'm like, what's fucking wrong with a pair of blue jeans?
Right,
like, everything had to be,
skateboarder bridges.
Like, everything had to be black, right? And I'm like, now I don't really fucking care. Like, I'm not trying to do some golf thing and spike my hair up what little I have. And all that, you know, I'm not doing that anymore because I'm older. I'm going to be 40. You don't do that shit. So think about it like this. When you're young and you're like, oh, I want to be a tree. And even Vance said this, like a kid will go up, hey, look, I want to be a tree or I'm a dinosaur. That doesn't fucking mean that we give them goddamn hormones to proverbially turn them into a tree or a dinosaur, because that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
But
and one very important thing. Now, I don't know what you're going to say about this, but I know a lot of the older gay community, right? So, one thing that's very important, and Vance said this, and it's very, very important. Vance said that the trans community are erasing gay men. And let me explain why that's important. Because a lot of these trans women would have grown up to be gay men.
Yeah.
That's literally what they would have been. Like Freddie Mercury, you know, like Rob Halford, Judas Priest. He's happy being a gay man. No, no problem with that. Makes great heavy metal into his 70s. Great stuff. Invincible Shield came out. Amazing record. Great record. So, it's no big deal. A lot of heavy metal guys are still in the closet about it. That's just the way the culture is. But yeah, there's a lot of guys that are gay. They're not going and changing themselves. There was one fucking dude that did it, and nobody really... two people. And nobody really gives two shits about them, honestly. Like, they're not even that well regarded in heavy metal. So, anyway, the thing is, when they're going in there and they're saying, oh, we're trying to get our true self, how is... And Vance said this. He says, you need to be questioning the shit you're putting in your body anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're talking about, to begin with, not just if you're transitioning or hormone. We're talking about everything you put in your body. You need to be thinking about what you're putting in your body. And he's saying, how do you call yourself your true self if you're putting materials in your body that weren't there to begin with?
Yeah.
How are you a true self if you have to take drugs to become your true self?
And so, a lot of these drugs they give them are what they give prisoners to castrate them.
Right.
Chemically.
Yes.
And it's not good for you.
And you're talking about erectile dysfunction. You're talking about sexual dysfunction in general.
Yeah.
Men and women. It's gone. It's fucking gone. Hey. Why would you want to destroy yourself like that? Oh, but maybe I'll go back. You can't go back.
There's no going back
because you already permanently destroyed shit. You're taking something to change the chemistry of your body.
Yep.
You don't realize how fucking... We're not like Ditto from Pokemon. We can't just fucking turn into anything. We can't go back and forth. It's... once you start changing your body in one way, you're giving your body signals that it needs to go that way. And that's the fucking stupid thing. Now, if you are transitioned and that's and you're okay with that, and it's whatever, okay? Because some people are like, okay, this is what I wanted to do. Fine. But for a large amount of people, and especially young people, because Vance is worried about the kids.
Yeah.
The kids transitioning.
The kids can't.
That's the problem. When he said, "Mommy, I want to be a dinosaur." We don't fucking Jurassic Park the kid, okay? That's literally just fucking not how it works.
You can get them dinosaur pajamas. You can
do
stuff. They phase out of shit.
Yeah.
That is how kids are. Except for Ninja Turtles. I'm still a dinosaur.
Yeah,
fan.
So Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers. The Power Rangers game is coming out on December the 10th.
Uh-oh.
December the 10th. Rita's Rewind, guys. I might play it on the channel. Who knows? But yeah, that's what we're talking about. Everything he fucking said on that Joe Rogan podcast, guys, I was 100% on board with.
Yeah.
And that scared the shit out of me because I'm like, there shouldn't be a candidate that I agree with.
A couple of minutes ago when I was like, hey, maybe you should look into it. No, he's evil. He's evil, and I know it.
And you know what?
Empress says so too.
No. She watched it too.
No, she's, I'm saying before.
I know. That's why I gave him the fucking benefit of the doubt and actually listened to everything he had to say. She said she saw a lot of Bobby Kennedy in him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's great. Now, those two already voted. They scribbled in shit, and I'm really kind of upset about that because I said that we endorsed Trump here, but her and him, they went... I mean, look, we... All
right,
so guys, we
want,
yes, we want everybody to have the right to vote for who they want. However, we did kind of endorse it as a channel, and now,
I mean, people.
I mean, it is what it is.
Although, I think Trump and Vance are the right ones for the job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still hear stuff from people at work talking about, well, what we're going through is because of Trump's policy. I was like, really? 4 years after the fact when everything was going good.
Yes, I have two GOG windows open. I'm going through changes.
Hopefully not the changes we were just discussing.
Not those changes.
What's that thing appeals to? It's audio. I can say anything.
Those are sleep pills. I almost died following botched surgery in Turkey. My breasts were leaking green gunk. Influencer who spent more than €500,000 on plastic surgery to become the ultimate bimbo says my life was on the line. A model and influencer who has spent more than €500,000 on plastic surgery has revealed she was left fearing death after going under the knife in Turkey. Sophia Lips, who I follow, regularly hits the headlines due to her obsession with plastic surgery and is said to have the largest lips in the UK. A 27-year-old from Manchester previously revealed that in a bid to become the ultimate bimbo, she underwent her third breast surgery costing €10,000. So, Sophia...
Like trans people, bimbos on the inside. It's not on the outside.
Sophia claims that her life was on the line following the surgery in Turkey, which left green gunk leaking out of her breasts.
Oh.
It was such a mess, the model said. I literally nearly died. It got so bad. Surgery itself went fine, but as soon as I arrived home, the nightmare began. I had a burning sensation that was unbearable, followed by swelling. As I looked down, there was green gunk all over my bandages from where I was leaking. I didn't know what was going on. I was worried my life was on the line.
That looks goofy as shit.
Well, she's trying to do the Jessica Rabbit thing.
I'm sorry.
Sophia, who went
the same.
For the procedure in 2022, forked out €6,000 to go from 450cc to 800cc. So that's still very small compared to some of the other girls. When arriving at the clinic, everything was carried out as usual, and so the model had no concerns. The next day, she flew back home and straight away rushed to the hospital. She said, as I arrived, they told me the news I was dreading. It was sepsis. Wow. She was admitted, had to stay for a week while she received treatment. To ensure she'd survive, they told her that she needed to take the left implant out. I refused, as I didn't want to lose my perky breasts that I'd paid so much and had gone through so much to have. Thankfully, as I started to respond to the antibiotics and slowly got better, the infection went away. After weeks in the hospital, she was determined to not let this setback stop her from achieving the look she'd been dreaming about. In 2023, she went to a different clinic in Turkey and received 1050, the biggest silicone implants made, and now she's really happy. She hopes to share her story to raise awareness, especially as a recent analysis on Science Direct reported that 75% of surgeries carried out in Turkey end with complications. But despite the harrowing ordeal, it's not stopped her from going under the knife again. I'm planning on having a liposuction in a few weeks, but I love being able to change myself. I want my own want to be my own creation. It was scary and one of the worst things I've ever been through, but I made it out alive. I was too embarrassed to share my story before, as I've worried what people would think, especially as I've had more surgery since, but it's so important to talk about. Always research, look at reviews from reputable people, and never go for any surgery because it's cheap. Now, I love my boobs, but I want them even bigger. So, I mean, that's her thing. Yeah. I mean, I like the bimbo girls. I understand they go through a lot to do what they do.
But, damn, I like people looking naturally good looking.
Well, yeah. Uh-oh, hold on. Realistic AI photos reveal what typical cheaters look like. Is this you? Bald-faced liars are more likely to be adulterers as well. Are you a big man? You're a big man.
Oh, yeah, I am. Oh, yeah.
Are you a bald man with a big nose in your 40s? You're more likely to cheat on your partner, according to an AI-generated profile of what a typical philanderer looks like. We've shed light on the physical traits associated with those prone to cheating, declared Rose Maskell, senior marketing executive at the online casino Mr. Q, who conducted the scandalous study, Kennedy
that
News reported. What's a typical male cheater looks like? Phil Collins? According to an AI-generated depiction based on a study by Online Casino.
Oh, he's like, you want to eat some hot wings and tell your story today?
The digital betting bazaar reportedly surveyed 2,000 Brits, many of whom have been betrayed in the boudoir, to deduce what attributes cheaters had in common. They then fed the results to an AI-powered image generator to create a photo-fit depiction of the average cheater. The resultant AI artist depiction... Depiction showed a male in their 40s with blue-gray eyes, sparse or no hair, and frown lines. Throw in small tips and a larger snoz, and you get the poster child for someone who sleeps around on their spouse, per the study. Oh, no. Kamala Harris is going to be on Saturday Night Live.
Ooh, it's going to suck. Come on, I used to love Saturday Night Live, and you're killing it!
The female counterpart, per the illustration, was in her early
50s. What is a line? It's when you say dialogue. Right. What is dialogue? It's a group of words that make a story.
Right.
What is a story? It's things I do all the time.
Their female counterpart, per the illustration, was in her early 50s and sported dark hair with a small nose and medium-sized pout. Both male and female cheaters were depicted as having a slim build and boasting staring eyes. Our research showed that just under half, 41% of people, are familiar with this painful betrayal, so it may be that a lot identify with the characteristics in the images, Maskell said.
So, upcoming, she's going to be on the show. I guess after she loses, they'll give her a consolation prize.
However, perhaps... No, she's going to be on it tonight.
Oh, well.
However, perhaps the male... She's on it right... And she's already been on it. It's already 1:55 tomorrow. However, perhaps the male cheater's profile was more accurate given the larger sample size. The study found that men are significantly more likely to fool around than women, with 35% of men admitting to cheating at least once before compared to just 24% of women. Okay. Women are more likely to stay with their adulterous soulmates after catching them straying. More than a fifth, 22%, stay with their disloyal partner for at least another 2 years, while just 1 in 10, 13% of scorned fellows did the same. Meanwhile, an appalling 2% of people married their paramour after finding out they were sleeping around. As a depiction of the typical unfaithful male perhaps proves, adultery drama doesn't decline in middle age. Those ages 45 to 54 are most likely to have cheated at least once. More than 1 in 3, 35%, admitted to doing their partners dirty, while 54% of 45 to 54-year-olds divulged that they'd been either the victim or perpetrator of infidelity. Coincidentally, the study found that cheating generally peaks around fall, so lovebirds should remain vigilant right now, especially if their other half possesses the aforementioned physical characteristics. Of course, the likelihood of scoring extramarital booty is more than skin deep, per the marketing exec. Obviously, it's important to note these are based on statistical analysis and won't apply to all individuals, declared Maskell. People's behavior is defined by their decisions and actions, not by what they look like. Professional honey trapper Madeline Smith revealed some telltale behaviors that could indicate that someone's man is scoring sex on the side, including hiding phones, neglecting to include pics of their other half on social media, and using Snapchat. Apparently, only white people cheat based on the photos. Black fathers are very faithful to the mothers of their children.
Or they don't show up at all. That's just what I've heard. And we're from a town.
I know a dude cheating on his old lady, and he's 5'4", 200 pounds. Does he match the AI? I see him at Taco Bell a lot.
Oh, Eddie Murphy had a whole hour on how men or black men cheat on their women. It wasn't me.
I saw you running down the street, and you horrible.
It wasn't me.
Maybe okay. UN committee criticizes Japanese media. This is very, very, very important, guys. This affects us in ways you can't imagine. All right. The UN committee has criticized Japanese media and say it may incite violence against women and girls. Yes, this includes hentai games. The United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, which I didn't even know there was one, it's called CEDAW, has reportedly expressed concerns about Japanese media and the speculated impact it could have on gender and sex-based violence. According to free speech advocate and politician Yamada Taro, the Japanese Cabinet Office Gender Equality Bureau and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs confirmed the contents of their meeting with CEDAW. However, nothing further was said about the current state of Japanese media. The Japanese government has been thankfully slow to respond to external pressure when it comes to censorship of Japanese media, although the same cannot be said for its corporations, but for the time being, free speech remains enshrined in Japanese law with few exceptions. You can read Taro's post regarding CEDAW's pressure to censor anime and manga below. We'll include a translation via Google. This is prepared following a face-to-face review of the 9th report on the implementation of the Convention of the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, which was held on October the 17th. In this final opinion, concerns were expressed that pornography, I want to point that out, pornography, video games, manga, and other animated products may incite violence against women and girls based on gender or sexual orientation. It further recommended effectively implementing existing legal measures and monitoring programs to address the production and distribution of pornography, video games, and animation. Yes, I'm clear. I'm making that clear. Games that we have had on this channel, Japan is, well, not Japan, but the United Nations are coming against. They're saying the maggot baits is too much. And yes, we know it's too much, but it is fiction. Nobody fucking approves of the things that go on to those girls in that game. Nobody. There's horrible rapes and murders and beaten. Those girls are beaten and tortured. We do not promote that. That is part of a very, very corrupt society. It's meant to show societal corruption, and it's meant to show the activities of criminals, deviants, you know, horrible, horrible people.
Well, think of it this way. Has it affected crime at all in Japan? No. I don't believe it has.
Now, the only thing that Japan is having a problem with is the groping in the trains. They're having a lot of problems with that.
Well, that is a real issue. They're having a declining population
because people aren't getting married.
They pay people to sleep next to them.
Well, you know that. But
not sex, sleep.
Well, they can have sex. They can have all sex except for intercourse. They can use every other hole except for the vagina.
Well, that seems fair.
Yeah. It's actually part of the Japanese health medical services, which I wish would be.
I think the ass just didn't seem as healthy as the vagina.
You can use the mouth. They can jack you off. There's a lot of things they can do. They can use their feet. As long as it's not intercourse. Remember, Japanese law is just this. Just this. If you do this, it's against the law. Everything else is... And when I say that, I'm taking my finger and I'm putting it into the circle that I'm making in my hand. Yeah, that's the only thing you can't do. And Mushida-san has talked about it quite a bit. I haven't seen much from his channel. I hope he's still doing things. But anyway, it basically said video games and animation products that reinforce discriminatory gender stereotypes and reinforce sexual violence against women and girls. However, the government effectively implementing existing legal measures and monitoring programs to address the production and distribution of pornography, video games and animation products that reinforce discriminatory gender... Hold on. We talked about that already. Sorry, guys. However, the government, the Cabinet Office Gender Equality Bureau, and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has confirmed the content of the face-to-face screening, but no questions were asked about manga, anime, and games. Okay, so that's important, guys. They weren't focused on manga, anime, and games. They're focused on pornography. Despite not being checked during the face-to-face screening, the company expressed its concerns. The one-sided content denies the freedom of expression in manga, anime, and games and calls for them to be cornered, through legal action and surveillance, which is extremely unjust. We will consider requesting that the sources and grounds be disclosed and also requesting a retraction if this is not possible. So, guys, this is bad. Because we were talking about this in Annie's channel, Sex Positive Gaming, and one person posed the fact that this could literally go back to games only being Japanese. Certain games only being released in Japan for Japanese audiences. Oh, yeah. Because the United Nations will not allow them to be distributed overseas. This could be bad. That means you would have to import a lot more games. You'd have to start... I know some of you guys are on the import train, and you'll like your physical copies. And maybe there'll be some pirated... I mean, look, that's the only way you're going to be able to get it. If there's no way to localize the shit because it's considered too violent, too crazy, and there's more games like that coming. Remember the Yamazomi... the new Yamazomi game is coming out. That's pretty rough. And we got Sacrifice Villains coming out. That's going to be pretty rough. And we got the... I don't know about Sleepless and Sleepless Nocturne, because those are more the shoe on the other foot. It's like that's more towards the men instead of the women. So, but you know what's going to be a problem? I'll tell you what's going to be a problem. Not this. Let it go a little bit. Yeah, there's a Halloween sale. It's still, I mean, it should be gone. That's going to be the problem. You say, why is that going to be the problem? Well, and that's the new Yamazomi I was talking about. Oh. So, all right, guys, here's the problem with with that one I just talked to you guys about. So basically, that game, you play as some ugly incel guy, right? Mm. And he can read people's thoughts. And basically, he wants to torture the women, the girls. Now, sometimes it comes back on him. There's some issues where... There's some scenes where he gets, you know... But for the most part, I have been told that the torture and gore is similar to maggot baits. Mm. It's that fucked up. Yes, I have a copy of the game. I did buy the game. So, just want to let you know that Mojica is coming out on February the 2nd. Or is it February the 14th? Which would be a crazy day to release it. But,
Anyone thinking Valentine?
Yeah. But, yeah, that game's coming out. And it might cause some shit. It might. It depends on if people notice it. Because he is absolutely a guy that considers himself ugly. Like a lot of incels apparently consider themselves not good looking. And I have seen the comments. I read your fucking comment. Not you guys here on the channel. But I'm on X. I'm looking at the comments. I'm looking at other social media. I'm seeing incels communicate with other incels. What can I do to make myself look better? What can I, like, do?
It's a personality thing.
Exactly.
You gotta change how you socialize with people.
And what I'm saying is... They're saying, no, looks are everything, blah, 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 blah. Like, look, this is the guy that thinks that. and because women don't like him or aren't interested in him, he thinks about torturing them. So yes, this is a Nitro Plus game. It's a very big developer. And we're not shaming Nitro or saying anything bad about Jazz, but we just want to let everybody know that when this game comes out, it could cause some controversy. Now, I don't know how much, but if the wrong people find out about this game, it might not be good. I'm not looking forward to any controversy on that game. Because we understand the game as being a work of fiction. You know, some women will be into the hardcore, like they're into that kind of hardcore sex. Yeah. So, and sometimes he gets the tables turned where she's like, oh, you like me, huh? Well, let's see how you like this, right? So there is some other things. Now, that's supposed to be a spoiler, but I want you guys to know. Because, yeah, he doesn't... Things don't always work the way he wants them to. We'll just say that. But, yeah, that is... that is troubling.
Well, that's people saying, oh, grown-ups, adults, have no idea the difference between reality and fake. And maybe incels have a different way of looking at things.
They do, and it's weird.
But...
They're focused on is like women and like, oh, I can look good, and now it's literally all about that.
If they have friends, if they have a social circle, think they probably don't. Them. Oh, well. But I'll say this, if you're nervous about socializing with people, mm-hmm. I always start out by saying go up to at least 5 people a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, how are you? You know, just a greeting, you know, you don't have to shoot the shit or nothing. Just, how are you doing today? Oh, that's great. You know, you gotta train yourself out of being antisocial.
Right.
It's not something you can... there was a time I was not super social, or a period of my life, maybe. But now, you know, I'm over that shit.
Oh, yeah. The Vatican unveils official anime girl mascot. The Vatican has unveiled a new cute anime girl mascot, hoping to create characters that can represent the sentiments that resonate in the hearts of the younger generations. The new character, named Lucy, which means light in Italian, helps to guide young pilgrims towards hope and faith, according to the Catholic news agency. Lucy and her friends were designed by Tokidoki co-founder Simone Legno. Lucy is joined by her dog Santino, alongside her friends Fee, Shin, and Sky. With a design reminiscent of Sanrio characters, Lucy and her friends wear colorful raincoats and boots to travel on their holy pilgrimage. Lucy and her friends have unique markings in their eyes, in which Jubilee Chief Organizer Archbishop Rhino Fischilia describes as a symbol of hope for the heart. And there's been so much fan art, both crazy and, oh my god, I've seen some crazy fan art with her.
Horrible.
Yes, it's a mix of both. But there's been some really good stuff.
Yeah.
There's been a lot where she's torturing sinners. Lucy will make her debut at the Luca Comics. I'll send you some.
Yeah.
Luca Comics and Games Convention in Italy, which will be the first time the Vatican will officially participate in a comics convention. Uh-huh. Lucy will also represent the Holy See. Wow. At Expo 2025 in Osaka, Japan. The Catholic Church is planning multiple cultural events and projects in anticipation of the upcoming Catholic Jubilee. At present, it's unclear what's planned for Lucy and her friends insofar as merchandising and possible multimedia projects.
Oh, yeah.
That is unexpected, but yeah, it happened. Here's what happens to the human body when you don't have sex or masturbate for months. Why it's important to watch the channel. Gen Z of legal age are having less sex than any generation in history, and experts warn it could lead to their genitalia shrinking. Dr. Tara Suwinyachi Chai Porn? Suwinyachi, when you watch it at Chai Porn,
a sex the shy porn?
That's what it says.
I'm gonna show it to you, but I don't wanna.
A sex and relationship expert told Daily Mail that men who are sexually inactive can experience a very rare condition called penile atrophy, where penile tissue can become less elastic, causing it to shrink by 1 to 2 centimeters. He also says that going a month or more without having sex may cause men and women to experience increased stress levels due to sexual frustration, anxiety, depression, and anger. It can also cause other psychological impacts and make people more prone to infidelity. Despite the positive attachment to sex, a 2021 California University study found that 38% of young people between the ages 18 and 30 reported that they hadn't had any sexual partners in the previous year. Experts warn that not having sex over weeks, months, or years can have harmful effects on the human body. Most people need affection, touch, and sexual connections with others, and without it, your mental health could deteriorate, causing anxiety, depression, and increased levels of stress, that guy said. That woman said. She explained that all people are different, and depending on the person's general mental health, the really extreme symptoms could develop within 6 months or take as long as 5 years. Having sex releases feel-good hormones like oxytocin, also called the love hormone, dopamine, and serotonin, which regulate your emotions and boost your mood. Dopamine is a chemical that the brain releases to make you feel pleasure, but if your body doesn't produce enough of it, you can develop insecurities and lower self-worth. A 2021 study suggested that people with unmet sexual needs can develop frustration that may lead to increased and aggressive behavior. The frustration can arise from unfulfilled desire to have sex, not having an available partner, or engaging in unsatisfying sexual activities, which can lead to heightened irritability and mood swings. It has led to an increase in the risk of aggression, violence, and crime associated with relief-seeking, power-seeking, revenge-seeking, and displaced frustration, the study said. If couples are experiencing a sex drought in their relationship, they don't approach their partner with softness, vulnerability, and request for compromise, sex therapist Sari Cooper told DailyMail.com. They also don't have the technique to repair conflicts and instead blame one another, pursue the other with continuous criticism, or elicit a guilty response in order to get their needs met. Going through a dry period is normal, Cooper added, but going on too long without sex can cause major problems with your partner. Sometimes one partner may ask to open up the relationship so they can get their needs met in an ethical manner, and other partners may just have an outside sexual infidelity to meet the needs, he explained. As 2021 California Health Interview Survey found, the number of young people abstaining from sex reached a record high, with 38% of people saying they hadn't had sexual partners in the last year, 18 to 30. This is compared to 22% of people reported not having sex in a year from a decade earlier, the LA Times reported. She warned that more extreme symptoms can arise from sex withdrawal, including penile and vaginal atrophy, pain during sex, but added the caveat that this could take upwards of 5 years without sex to occur.
No matter what, vaginal, if everything shrinks, is it going to be tighter?
Men are at a higher risk of developing medical issues like penile atrophy and prostate cancer if they abstain from having sex for long time periods. So make sure you're fapping, guys. Researchers believe that carcinogens build up in the prostate over time, which increases the risk of cancer. But studies have found that ejaculation may prevent it because it flushes out the harmful chemicals that build up in the semen, according to the Urology Care Foundation. Sue Wachitapaz Porn, warning that inactive sex life can cause penile atrophy, was echoed by Tobias Kohler, an assistant professor of urology at Southern Illinois University School of Medicine, who told WebMD that without regular erections, the penis will become elastic and shrink. A science behind how long it takes for penile atrophy to develop appears to still be up for debate. 2016 study found that men who ejaculate at least 21 times each month had a lower risk of developing prostate cancer than those who ejaculated just 4 to 7. Likewise, when women go without sex for months, it can cause vaginal atrophy, making intercourse uncomfortable and painful. Sexual activity increases the blood flow, lubrication, and elasticity of vaginal tissues, but without it, women can develop atrophy when tissues become thin and dry, which can shorten the vaginal canal, making penetration more difficult. Cooper advised that people who are going through a lengthy sexual lull first address their stress levels because it impacts your ability to notice if someone piques our neurotic nerve endings. Stress out people don't have the capacity to enjoy sex, she added. People can use methods to de-stress like practicing yoga or tai chi, meditating, and scheduling regular date nights with your partner. Cooper also suggested considering what has triggered your erotic desires in the past, which don't always have to be physical. For example, someone may be very sound-oriented, and if relaxed state can get really turned on when listening or dancing to a type of music, Cooper said. For couples who feel like they're stuck in a sexless relationship and communicating isn't an option, Cooper recommended them to seek out a certified sex therapist to help them address these barriers with professional guidance.
Okay.
Yes. Very interesting.
Well, I'm going to go take care of my health tonight. Map shows states where men least likely to find legs.
This one was from Drex. A new study by Ben's Natural Health shows that U.S. states where men are more likely to remain single, highlighting a variety of social and demographic factors that make dating a challenge for men in certain regions. The analysis, which covered all 50 states, ranked the top 10 states where men face the greatest difficulty in finding a romantic partner. The study used four key factors: ratio of single men to single women, number of clubs and bars per 100,000 people, number of Tinder users, and the percentage of male Tinder users. Each factor was given equal weight in determining the overall singleness index, with higher scores indicating a greater likelihood that men in the state would remain single. The study also analyzed divorce rates, but they were not included in the final rankings. According to the study, the top 10 states where men struggle the most to find love are Tennessee, Wyoming, Texas, Colorado, North Dakota, South Carolina, Wisconsin, California, Hawaii, and Washington. Damn.
Damn. And a lot of Pardon places me. Have gorgeous women in them.
Yeah. Tennessee, single score of 47.59. Despite the state boasting 451 clubs and bars and almost 40,000 Tinder users, men face tough competition in the dating scene. The state's single male to female ratio stands at 85.6, and 66% of Tinder users in Tennessee are male. Wyoming, 43.4. Texas, 40.3. Colorado, 39.13. North Dakota, 38.16. And we have, you know, that's just some of them. But there you go, guys. If you live in those states, it's going to be a little harder to find somebody.
I'm almost willing to date someone outside the state. I have one hitting me up every once in a while. Me and my ego.
Walmart workers say it's impossible to lock yourself in an oven like one where employee 19 was roasted to death.
Apparently it happened, or she was
Walmart, yeah, I wouldn't even put it past them. Walmart employees have voiced confusion over the tragic death of a 19-year-old staff member inside a walk-in oven because they generally can't close on their own. Dude, she's probably murdered. In a series of TikTok videos, staff and former employees have been sharing insights into the inner mechanics of working inside the Walmart bakery. It comes on the back of Gersimeron Carr's tragic death last weekend. Who is this girl?
Extra crispy.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, she was, I believe, Indian or Arabic.
Yeah. That's a little crazy. Yeah, what?
She is in Canada. They were in Canada. They were going to move coming up.
Okay. So, basically, they're saying her own mother, who also worked at the store, this is in Nova Scotia, by the way, her own mother, who worked at the store, found her charred remains inside after more than an hour of looking for her on the shop floor, a spokesperson for the family said. Doesn't make any sense, a Walmart employee named Mary said in a TikTok video showcasing the oven. Basically, okay, that's her. All right. But okay, so it's showing that. Mary said the door does not latch and was designed not to do that. When the door is simply pushed closed, instead there has to be significant force to close the door. The door does not close by itself. It doesn't latch. You have to push it. You hear the click. Mary demonstrated stepping inside the oven and utilizing the emergency release from the inside of the oven, showing that it's a simple push feature on the other side of the door.
Maybe she didn't
She did
know.
It on purpose, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe
Mary
she was dead before she
demonstrated stepping inside of the oven and utilizing the emergency release from the inside of the oven, showing the simple push feature on the other side. I'm not trying to theorize or form a conspiracy. It's just hard to wrap my head around it when Walmart's bakery ovens are so safe to use, she said in a comment. Her video has been viewed 3.6 million times and sparked an outpouring of responses from other Walmart employees across the nation who agreed the oven should not have been able to close easily. Someone who worked in the Walmart bakery for 2 years, this case is not sitting well with me. My heart goes out to her family and members of the community. Another bakery worker said that the interior safety release is metal, meaning it would get extremely hot when the oven was turned on. Police are investigating the death, and Walmart Superstore remains closed more than a week after the tragedy. It's unclear how Carr became trapped inside the oven.
See what you gotta do to get a Walmart to close?
A dispatch call first reported earlier this week remained that there was a female employee locked in an oven. Oven is on, unsure staff were unable to turn it off, dispatch officer warned. The mother who worked made a distressing discovery after conducting a frantic search around the store for her. A colleague noted leakage coming from the walk-in oven. Imagine the horror that her mother experienced. She opened the oven and found her daughter in there. All, as you all know, her charred remains were found inside the walk-in oven in the bakery after a few hours. Her mother is reportedly traumatized by the discovery.
I bet it would.
The family's sufferings are unimaginable and indescribable. The Maritime Sikh Society executive said in the appeal. Wow. Man.
Rotisserie garlic.
Good gravy. That's not all that happened with these young teens today. We also had an AI chatbot that pushed a teen to kill himself. A lawsuit against his creator alleges. So that's the mother everybody's been talking about.
What about her?
They say the mother is hot.
Oh, she is hot.
In the final moments before he took his own life, a 14-year-old Sewell Setzer III took out his phone and messaged a chatbot that had become his closest friend. For months, Sewell had become increasingly isolated from his real life as he engaged in highly sexualized conversations with a bot, according to a wrongful death lawsuit filed in a federal court in Orlando this week. The legal filing states that the teen openly discusses suicidal thoughts and shared his wishes for a pain-free death with the bot, named after the fictional character Daenerys Targaryen from the television show Game of Thrones. Huh. Yes. On February 28th, Sue told the bot he was coming home, and it encouraged him to do so, the lawsuit says. I promise I'll come home to you. I love you so much, Danny, Sue told the chatbot. I love you too, the bot replied. Please come home to me as soon as possible, my love. What if I told you I could come home right now, he asked. Please do, my sweet king, the bot messaged back. Just seconds after the character AI bot told him to come home, the teen shot himself, according to the lawsuit, filed this week by Sewell's mother, Megan Garcia, of Orlando, against Character Technologies, Inc. Character Tech is the company behind Character AI, an app that allows users to create customizable characters or interact with those generated by others. Hey, the time is switched.
Coming home.
Well, no, I was noticing.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The time has switched.
Yeah, it's daylight savings.
Okay. So, it's 1:23.
Yeah.
Character Technology is the company behind Character AI, an app that allows users to create customizable characters or interact with those generated by others, spanning experiences from imaginative play to mock job interviews. The company says the artificial personas are designed to feel alive and human-like. Imagine speaking to super intelligent and lifelike chatbot characters that hear you, understand you, and remember you. Read the description for the app on Google Play. We encourage you to push the frontier of what's possible with this innovative technology. I've used this before. I saw a few things. I'm like, I don't like the idea of talking to, like, anime characters from certain animes. I think it's kind of lame.
Yeah.
Garcia's attorneys alleged the company engineered a highly addictive and dangerous product targeted specifically to kids, actively exploiting and abusing those children as a matter of product design, and putting Sewell into an emotionally and sexually abusive relationship that led to his suicide. Yeah. We believe that if Sewell Setzer had not been on Character AI, he would be alive today, said Matthew Bergman, founder of the Social Media Victims Law Center. I didn't even know there was one. Shit. Gotta talk with them, which is representing Garcia. A spokesman for Character AI said Friday that the company doesn't comment on pending litigation. In a blog post published the day the lawsuit was filed, the platform announced new community safety updates, including guardrails for children and suicide prevention resources. We are creating a different experience for users under 18 that includes a more stringent model to reduce the likelihood of encountering sensitive or suggestive content, the company said in a statement to the Associated Press. We are working quickly to implement those changes for younger users. Google and its parent company, Alphabet, have also been named as defendants in the lawsuit. According to legal filings, the founders of Character AI are former Google employees. I didn't know that. Who were instrumental in AI dev at the company, but left to launch their own startup to maximally accelerate the technology. In August, Google struck a $2.7 billion, I even know this, billion-dollar deal with Character AI to license the company's tech and rehire the startup's founders, the lawsuit claims. The AP left multiple email messages with Google and Alphabet on Friday. And months leading up to his death, Garcia's lawsuit says that Sewell felt he had fallen in love with the bot. While unhealthy attachments to AI chatbots can cause problems for adults, for young people it can be even riskier, as with social media, because their brain is not fully developed when it comes to things like impulse control and understanding the consequences of their actions, experts say. Youth mental health has reached crisis levels in recent years, according to U.S. Surgeon General, who has warned of serious health risks of social disconnection and isolation. Trends, he says, are made worse by young people's near-universal use of social media. Suicide is the second leading cause of death among kids 10 to 14, according to data released this year by Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. James Steyer, the founder and CEO of the nonprofit Common Sense Media, said the lawsuit underscores growing influence and severe harm that generative AI chatbot companions can have on the lives of young people when there are no guardrails in place. Kids' over-reliance on AI comparisons, he added, can have significant effects on grades, friends, sleep, and stress, all the way up to the extreme tragedy in this case. The lawsuit serves as a wake-up call for parents who should be vigilant about how their children interact with these tech, Steyer said. Common Sense Media, which issues guides for parents and educators on responsible tech use, says it is critical that parents talk openly to their kids about the risks of AI chatbots and monitor their interactions. Chatbots are not licensed therapists or best friends, even though that's how they're packaged and marketed. And parents should be cautious of letting their children place too much trust in them, Steyer said. So be careful with your chatbots, folks.
Honestly, I don't think, like, kids shouldn't be able to transition as kids. I don't think they should really have as much access to AI chatbots and all that.
As you see, guys, it's just a bunch of YouTube long plays. Yeah. Hey, by the way, guys, I'm getting into... All right, so this is something kind of completely off base, but I want to talk about it.
Go for it.
I bought a lot of games in the past, and I don't have a lot of time to play them. And some of these games, like you see The Seventh Guest, The 11th Hour, like I've played these games on and off, but I've never actually been able to finish them. So when you watch somebody play the whole game through, and you know, I actually do pause some of these games, like if they're going through a horror game and you get like information and documents, I'll pause it so I can read the documents. I've been doing that a lot. So I can actually play these or actually get the stories for these games that I paid for faster than I'd actually be able to play them. Because it might take me... It would probably take me months or days, months to get through Sandcastle 1994. But I finished it in just a few days, because I was able to watch an hour or so every night and actually get through the game. So now I don't have to worry about that. And I'm also not going to buy as many horror games, because there are absolutely games I want to play, like platformers, FPS, stuff like that, RPGs. But when it comes to some of these maybe point and click and horror games where you're kind of wandering around a lot and not really sure where to go, that wastes a lot of time. You know, and I want to get the story. So I would rather exactly know what's going on, where to go. I'd rather somebody that knows what they're fucking doing playing the game, rather than me running around having to use a walkthrough, right?
Yeah.
It just saves time. So just one thing left to another, led to another. And some of these old click games, they actually look better on YouTube than they do on the emulator, because a lot of them use DOSBox or ScumVM.
Yeah.
Now, I still want to play the Blade Runner game, you know, I'm talking about the old one. I still want to play that through because, you know, it's different endings every time.
Yeah.
But a lot of these games, they're one and done. You play the story and it's over. So, I mean, yes, there's blood on there because there's a few levels I didn't play and I want to check them out. But yeah, guys, so that's basically what I'm doing and why you see all these. And I do encourage you guys to watch the long plays. If it's a game you're like, oh, I don't think I'm ever going to get to it. But you are interested in it because you could die. And like, that's a weird thing to say, but you could die like not knowing the story to that. And I was like, I mean, come on. It's a real thing. Like some people, they want to at least know the story. Like this great story that somebody wrote. Oh, Margot Robbie is... I didn't even know she was pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. Yep.
Well, she's married, too.
Yeah, Tom Hardy. Let's see what she looks like real quick.
She's good looking.
Yeah, she came out good in pregnancy. That's a nice bump. Yeah. There's old Tom Hardy. After, I mean, Venom, I guess, was okay, but I don't know. I'm ready for him to get a new role.
I haven't watched yet.
I'm ready for him.
He's done several other roles while he's done that.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Look that up.
I could be wrong, but he's done so many movies. He's done multiple different roles.
1977. Tom Hardy. All right, Band of Brothers. His breakthrough performance in Inception. Ridley Scott. Oh, yeah, he did a lot of shit.
Discography. What?
That's not the same Tom Hardy. That's not the same. I think they're thinking about a different Tom Hardy. That's not Tom Hardy, is it? That's maybe we're talking Tom Brady? Is she married to... Hold on, I might got that all wrong.
It's Tom Hardy.
It says Tom Hardy, her husband Tom. Tom Ackerley.
Ackerley.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Ackerley, he is a... I don't know. With Tom Hardy, anyway.
Why don't you look it up?
Yeah, I'll go look it up. So let's look. Tom Ackerley.
He may be an actor.
He might be. Yeah, he's a producer. Second unit. He did. He did Promising Young Women, Barbie, and I, Tonya.
Must have met on Barbie.
Yeah. No. My old ass. What is this? My old ass. What would you ask your older self? A mushroom trip brings free-spirited Elliot face-to-face with a 39-year-old self. But when Elliot's old ass delivers warnings to her younger self, Elliot realizes she has to rethink about everything about her family, life, and love. That actually sounds like a good movie.
It does sound like a good movie. Hopefully they won't make it.
It's out, I think.
Who knows? It may not be.
Seriously, so good. Being a female in her early 20s, I feel like I'm in the age range and understand what she's going through. I understand this movie. You know, a lot of us are grappling about stuff like this. Okay, so when does this come out? My old ass. I don't know. It says, what would you ask your older self? That's his newest movie, though. It says, 2024. I don't see it.
Well,
it's got a nomination.
It's not long to 2025, so it must be out.
Yeah.
Unless it's coming out in December. I don't know.
Producer. Yeah, it's the only one he did. Saltburn.
That sounds familiar.
Dollface. That's a series. Mike. That's a series.
Mike.
Made.
Boston Strangler.
Upcoming. Wuthering Heights?
Yeah.
Tank Girl? What? Okay, so fans of the channel, we're getting a fucking Tank Girl movie.
Another one.
Okay, so, first of all, I hope to God they do the comic. The comic is Deadpool.
Yeah.
It's Deadpool. I don't know if you've... Okay, so basically, let me give it to you straight.
Tank Girl comic or so.
I've read a bunch of them. Tank Girl is literally what Deadpool is now. Everything that Deadpool took, they took from Tank Girl. Tank Girl is whatever we want it to be today.
Yeah.
It's literally, the tank doesn't even matter. It's just, let's do this weird shit. And this is our comic. And boy, I hope to God they do this freaking... Okay, so they've got Jamie Hewlett and Alan Martin and Miles Joris Farfiet doing it. Movie is based on the British... I thought it was an Australian book. It doesn't really say much, but good Lord, if we're getting a fucking Tank Girl movie.
British province?
The Sims?
British penal colony?
The Sims, borderline naughty, Evangeline.
Naughty.
Evangeline. Angel is cast out of heaven and to redeem herself must defend humanity. Rob Liefeld's writing that. Rob Liefeld of Deadpool, the creator of Deadpool's writing that. Yes, the creator of Deadpool's writing that. Sirens, that is a... Okay, that's a production. Wuthering Heights, you've got to be kidding me. This is the original Margot Robbie in Wuthering Heights. That is like the number one chick book back in the day. It's crazy that they're doing this. The Sims. Kate Herron? This movie is based on the video game. That's gonna flop. Because nobody wants to see that.
There ain't any backup characters for it. They had Barbie and Ken and all them.
Follows Mallory, whose only chance to get custody of her son back from a trash bag of a former boyfriend is to track down Santa Claus and persuade him to appear in court.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds
woke, probably. It's out there. Yeah. Bodyguard protects a pop superstar. These are all movies this dude is working on right now. This is shit coming out of Hollywood. Oh. But God, at least we get a fucking Tank Girl movie at some point. I don't know. Look, Tank Girl's gonna be a little progressive. Yeah. It's gonna be. I've read the comic.
Yeah.
But she's married to a kangaroo. Well, she's dating a kangaroo guy. Yeah. So I'm okay with that. I don't have any problems with that. But yeah, that happened. All right, so our last article, because that's literally all I have.
Yep.
After 28 years, Nintendo 64 emulation is still a nightmare, even for Nintendo.
Wow.
Nintendo can't emulate their own fucking hardware.
Ain't that crazy?
On Switch. Banjo-Tooie on Switch runs its opening demo at goofy double speed. Nintendo Switch is too powerful to handle the sequel. While the Nintendo 64 is now 28 years old, emulation for the platform is notoriously challenging, and that's no less true for Nintendo itself. The latest evidence comes from the newly minted Switch version of N64 classic Banjo-Tooie, which features an inconsequential but pretty much unmissable bug right on the title screen thanks to the game's improved frame rate. Banjo-Tooie was a visual standout when it hit the N64 back in 2000, but its giant levels and detailed environments came at the cost of a bad, sometimes even abysmal, frame rate. N64 games regularly ran at 20 FPS. That would be unthinkable these days, and the original Banjo-Tooie struggles at times to even reach that low bar. Yeah, on the original platform, it struggles to reach 20 FPS. The version of Banjo-Tooie that's available as part of the N64 library in the more expensive tier of Nintendo Switch Online runs at a much better frame rate. But as Alex only notes on Blue Sky, that's caused the gameplay demos that run on the title screen to move way too fast. So let's look at it real quick. The old Nintendo 64. The Xbox Live Arcade.
That's what I got. It's Xbox Live Arcade or something.
That doesn't work anymore. That shouldn't really be a thing anymore.
Well, it's on my computer.
Huh. Supposed to be PC Game Pass now. Maybe they'll change it.
Maybe it is. Who knows?
I'll show it to you after the show.
I don't have my computer with me.
I'll show it to you after the show. I've got it.
Okay.
All right, so there you go. I'm not seeing a big deal. Let's see. Well, it's a little more... Why is it so black?
Because they've got enhanced color nowadays. You know,
right.
HD and everything else. 4K.
Yeah, things are a little different on these. But it says, Curiously, the Xbox Live Arcade version of Banjo-Tooie released in 09 also runs the demo sequences too fast, so not nearly to the degree of the Switch version. In fact, the XBLA version runs all the game's cutscenes slightly too fast, but outside of the opening demos, the Switch version completely corrects that issue. You can check out the video above for a direct comparison between all three editions. By all accounts, the XBLA edition of Banjo-Tooie is still the definitive version, but despite the title screen bug, the Switch version seems like a totally fine way to play too. Nintendo's official N64 emulation efforts on Switch have been spotty, but they've improved over the years, and Banjo-Tooie seems to be making the most of those improvements. You know, if you ignore the one obvious reminder of the challenges of N64 emulation that appears whenever you sit at the title screen too long. Yes. Yes. So there you go. And Xbox has barely mentioned Conker's Bad Fur Day in 10 years. But Doja Cat just put the cult N64 platformer in front of 24 million people in the funniest way. Doja Cat, once again, doing something cool. Remember, she was in House Party? Probably the most unexpected Halloween costume of all. So, Doja Cat decided to be the fucking flower. Okay. Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, and they didn't show the right. They didn't show it. Like, she showed the boobs and all. Like, yeah, she did the exaggerated boobs. But, yeah, so they're trying to show people that, hey, you idiots over at Xbox, we want more Conker's Bad Fur Day, and we know you can't make it because everything is woke and politically correct, but we want to press it and force you to kind of do something with it.
That was my all-time favorite.
And you can't run, you know why? You can't run the game on anything other than N64 hardware. The game cannot be emulated. It doesn't emulate right. Yes, it is the one game that is the most notoriously difficult to emulate on the Nintendo 64. I know, right? It's almost unfair.
They have the technology, but they don't know how to use it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's all we have for this time because I literally have no more articles for you guys. Before the thing happened with my Brave browser, I was actually going to go through a bunch of... I actually did this. I went through a bunch of articles that were just ridiculous and outdated.
Yeah.
And I had just a year's end thing where we were going to fast run through a bunch of shit. Just boom, 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 boom. But they all disappeared. It literally just went into my computer, turned on my Brave browser, and boom, they were all fucking gone. All my windows. I was kind of pissed because I had everything saved. And I'm really upset about that. There's no way to get them back. But, I mean, it is what it is. We'll just have to build more articles. Maybe it was just God telling me, hey, it's time to start covering these articles. And that's what I'm doing. Or you have to be gone. Yeah. All right. So, at any rate, this is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration. And we will see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show. Remember to get out there and vote.
Yes. Later.
Enjoy the decline.